Heartbeat.
Every member of the human race is born in Adam. This brings us to retroactive positional truth, which says this. Now, you remember last time I said if you're an Adam, you're in a trunk. Ernie says that you're in a casket. I like Ernie's better. You're born in a casket, spiritually speaking. You're born in a casket. Because he said everybody's born is what? Dead, spiritually dead. So he's right. Born in a casket. That's a pleasant thought, isn't it? That's a pleasant thought. Now, retroactive positional truth says that everything in Adam was put on Christ. Retroactive positional truth. Notice how it said, retroactive positional truth identifies every member of the human race in Adam, that's the one in the coffin, with the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. This is what Paul said, Ephesians 2, 5, and 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, that's the judicial charges of Adam's sin, made us alive with Christ. Watch the word Christ. Watch the word with and in, the prepositions. Watch this now. Made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised up with Christ, and seated with Christ in Christ. You see, here's the point. At the moment of salvation, and that is because everything you were in Adam, the 13 judicial charges of Adamic sin, were placed on the cross on Jesus Christ, and he bore our sins on the cross, so that when you go to the foot of the cross and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're placed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit into union with Christ. You are clothed with him, if that's the point. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you are with him. You are with him. Your feet are on earth, but you're with him. Listen to how you're with him. You are with him alive. You are with him raised up. You are with him seated. That's positional truth. You're not really there. You're here. Well, how can it be here and there? Baptism of the Holy Spirit places you into union with Christ. And you, if you are in him, you are with him. Look. You walk into Chili's with this little honey on your shoulder. And somebody goes, hey, you go, she's with me. And she's good. That's why she's with me. Oh yeah, she's good. Look at that's my mama. That's my baby. And we don't say she's in me. We say she's with me. We are with him. If you are in him, you are with him. You understand that? Or another way to say it, if you are with him, he is with you. He's with you. That's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Retroactive positional truth is necessary for new covenant sanctification to take place. Listen to this out of 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, and by that, Titus 3:5, he's talking about the washing of regeneration. You were washed. Ephesians 5:25 says, washed by the word of the Lord. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. See, there's our word sanctified. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the mechanics of it. You go like, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm telling you. I'm telling you what it means. All right? Point number two. The Greek word for sanctification, if you recall from last week, hagiosmos, it comes from the word hagios, which is the word for holy or saint, and the suffix mos, which means the act of being set apart to God's holiness. Hagiosmos. It's a singular word, but the suffix on the end of that is important. Sanctification occurs at the moment of grace salvation as part of the package of 50 things. There's a little thing back there, has a cross on it, a pamphlet at the back of this thing. Pick one up on your way out if you don't have one. It will tell you about the 50 things. When you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you get those 50 things. You can never lose them in time and eternity. Never. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Never. They are yours because you've been born again. Listen, when you get born again, you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth. How about that? You ever heard that expression? Acts 26:18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me, in Christ. We call this positional sanctification. Positional sanctification in Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit places me into union with Christ. We call that positional sanctification. The moment a person believes the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is placed into union with Jesus, seated at the right hand of God the Father by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him in baptism, that's baptism of the Holy Spirit, in which you were raised up with him through faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead, which is also stated in Romans 8:11. Now, positional sanctification takes me from the foot of the cross when I believe that Jesus died for my sins, was buried and raised from the dead. It takes me to the throne, takes me from the foot of the cross to the throne of Christ. Takes me from the foot of the cross to the throne of Christ. When I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit moves me from the gospel of great salvation, moves me into a position in Christ, moves me from the foot of the cross to the throne of Christ. Takes me from the cross to the crown. Takes me from the cross to the throne. Not because I earned it, not because I deserved it, but I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boom, there I am. By the grace of God, he has done one of eight works of the Holy Spirit. Boom, he has placed me into union with Christ. If I'm in union with Christ, I am clothed with him. Would you agree with that? I read, that was my opening text. If you are in Christ at the point of salvation, foot of the cross to the throne of Christ, from the foot of the cross to the throne of Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit, we call that current positional truth in theology, mechanically. Now that's positional sanctification, but we call it current because everything that's there is yours now. It's current. It's current. It's positionally current. Everything that's there is yours. That's who you are. Your identity, current position of truth, is your identity. It's how you're clothed. It's how you're clothed. Current position of truth is how I'm clothed now. Not when I die, but how I am now. Now that my soul has been saved, I've been clothed with Christ. You know, everybody talks about getting a white robe in eternity. You need to understand the wardrobe you got now. You got a closet full of being clothed. You got a closet full. How many? Listen, if I say to you right now, without looking on your piece of paper, do you know how many of those pieces, you know how many clothes you have in your closet? Well, you say, I couldn't even do that in my real clothes. I know that. How is it that you don't know all of them, but if you gain a little weight, you got a special pair you always go put on? How is it you don't know? Well, you see, that's what you need to know about these clothes there. You need to have these clothes need to be special because they really are who you really are. The devil will lie to you. He'll tell you that you're not worthy. You're not worthy for Christ to have died for you. That's a lie. That's a lie. Now watch this. He says you've been clothed with Christ. That takes you to 20 status privileges. Current positional truth says you have this wardrobe now. This is your wardrobe now. Do you understand that? This is not something you're going to get when you die. This is because you've been born again. This is your clothes closet now. Current position truth. You've been clothed with Christ now. Now watch this. There are 10 status and 10 privileges. I broke them down so that you could maybe understand them. For example, you're a brother. We are all brothers in Christ because we have the same Father. We got the same Father the moment we believed in His Son. And you'll always be a brother. Listen, you'll always be a brother no matter how you behave. Even when you misbehave with me, you're still my brother. We are all brothers in Christ because we have the same daddy. Notice that was the first one. You've been firstborn. A firstborn. You know why you're a firstborn? A firstborn. Now look. I know God's keeping a record because He's got a logbook up there. My name is up there, so name number one, you know, like first one up there, I guess would be Adam, wouldn't you? Then Eve. Abel. I don't know where I am in that list. But I'm there. You understand? I mean, I figure right now I got the first three names in the book. You know, if that's a gate question, I'm going to get that one. Give me the three. Give me the names of the first three people in the book. And I'm like, they go, come on in, you smart boy. I want the right hand to Jesus. They say, no, you didn't get that. Now, I don't know where I am in that book. I don't know what number I am, but I got a number. I'm in that book. I am in that book. And if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and raised from the dead the third day, you are in that book. And there's a number. Now, whatever number that is, I don't know. But we're all in that book. And I want you to know that it's important that you understand that we're in that book. And listen, we're in that book as a firstborn. Every Christian, that's not true with other dispensations. It's not true with the Gentiles. It's not true with the Jews. But it is true with every Christian because we are clothed with firstborn. Firstborn rights. Every believer, listen, every believer, now I'm way down the chain. Are you with me? From Adam, I'm way down the chain in that book. But I'll tell you, I'm put in there as a firstborn. Not because I was a firstborn, although I am in my family. I'm a firstborn because of Jesus Christ, who is the firstborn. And I'm in that book as a firstborn. How about that? You know what a firstborn? I'm a firstborn, which gives me... Listen, I'm above everybody else other than the firstborns. Everybody else that's dispensationally ahead of me, in the book, I'm ranked higher. Because I'm the generation that's in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you've been clothed with Christ. Abraham wasn't. I am. I'm a firstborn. You're a firstborn. You're a beloved. You have been clothed with beloved. Means that you're the object of God's maximum love and you can do nothing. You can say nothing. It has nothing to do with your behavior. It has to do with you being in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're a beloved. You're the object of God's maximum love and you will always be. Now, there are times we do things that disappoints the Father, and what's He do? He disciplines us like a good father and says, okay, let's get our act together. I want you to be a good child. We are a new creation in Christ. We are a new creation. Do you realize that we are a new creation? A new creation. I love that. But wouldn't you love to tweak all the green people with that? I'm part of the new creation! And I didn't have to do anything green. I had to do red. I had to go to the blood of Christ. With the blood of Christ, I'm a new creation. Everything is hunky-dory. It'd drive them nuts, wouldn't it? Make my day. We are the chosen of God. We are chosen of God. Listen, we don't have to do something to get His favor so we get chose. You know, teacher wants to know, does anybody, Elizabeth, anybody know the answer? you look at the kid who's not looking at you, his eyes are gone, he's sunk back, the longer it goes, the further down the seat he sinks. Then you say, Ronnie, could you give me the answer? And then you begin to have a speech impediment and tell them, what if I could, teacher? Listen, you know how wonderful it is to be chosen? Have you ever been somewhere where you were chosen last? How that makes you feel? Always when they choose up sides to play, they chose you last. Huh? That gives you a complex, wouldn't it? Listen, we are the chosen of God, and we're always chosen. When he talked about chosen, he's talking about first chosen, like firstborn. We are the chosen. We are the child of promise. A child of promise. Isn't that wonderful? We are a child of promise. We are a child of promise. We are a son of God. We are the son of light and day. Listen. When your life gets into a dark place, it shouldn't be in you. Should be no darkness in you. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there's no darkness. If you have fellowship with him, you are in the light, and you are not in darkness. Now, a lot of dark things can happen to your life, but you are still the light. The light is on. The light is on. It's when the light goes off and you get out of fellowship with God that things get hairy. Well, is there anybody hairy in here? I don't mean to offend you. I'm talking with an I and not a double R. We are eternal life. It's not something you get, it's something you are. You've been clothed with eternal life. You are the righteousness made of God. Made righteous, not you work to be righteous, you are made righteous. It's part of your clothes. Listen, those are 10 status privileges. Listen to privileges. You are an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're an ambassador. Isn't that an interesting title? An ambassador. I'll be king. Oh, you can't be king, Ron. We already have one. I'll be a senator. No. A congressman. How about a mayor? Well, what's left, ambassador? Okay. Let me tell you, an ambassador is a wonderful thing. You know why we're an ambassador? Because we're a citizen of heaven and we're a sojourner here. We're an ambassador because our kingdom is spiritual and we're an ambassador for Christ. We're pilgrims of this world and ambassadors for heaven. For heaven's sake. We are ambassadors. This is not our playground. This is not our playground. There's our playground. We're an ambassador here. We should be in service. And what are we ambassadors of? The ministry of reconciliation. Why am I an ambassador? I am the minister of reconciliation. What a great department to work for. I mean, we are an ambassador. We are the Lord's freedmen. We are the Lord's freedmen. Listen, that means probably nothing to you, but if you were under a regime of some type that had everybody enslaved, you would understand that. Listen, the Bible says that we've been set free from the way the world tags us so that we could be clothed with Christ. And when he frees us, we should become his bondslave. We should become his. Not a slave to this world, but a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that we're part of the body of Christ. And listen, the body should assemble. I've said this many times talking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts is your nomenclature in the body. It tells you your spiritual gift, another one of the works of the Holy Spirit of salvation, tell you who you are in the body. Some of us in the body are an arm, a leg, an eye, an ear. But we're, listen, we're something. We're somebody in the body. Do you understand that? There is nobody that is in Christ that's not part of the body of Christ. There is none. And who you are is who you're somebody. You're somebody important to the body. The arm is important to the body. The thumb helps the body get it right. Not in this day, does it? You wouldn't want to put your thumb out this day, would you? All kinds of other signs would come back to you from the hand. This is not a day for that. But listen, we are somebody in the body of Christ. He gave us a spiritual gift identity. Listen, I hear people come like, well, I like to go to the church because, you know, I don't know. I just... Listen, you know why you're here? You're part of the body of Christ. Now, you may have been attracted here for a lot of different reasons. But now that you're here, understand you've been clothed with Christ. You've been clothed with the body of Christ. And inside that, you have a uniform in the body of Christ. There is a special uniform, and that is your spiritual gift. You go like, where's that old body? Where's that body of Christ garment? Where is that thing? Oh, there it is. There it is. Oh, it's Pastor Teacher. It's got a name tag, Pastor Teacher. Oh, let me look. Let me look. It says, Mercy. It's got the tag, Mercy. You understand that? That's all gifted to you. That's because you're in Christ. You have a calling. A calling. Not like this. I'm talking about a calling upon your life in Christ. A calling. A calling that began with salvation is now developed into the spiritual life and the ministry that you have to others so that one day that calling will take you to heaven. You have a calling. A calling that began with the cross goes to the Christian life and goes to eternity. Listen, your calling is going to make you an active participant in the next life. Do you realize that? I'm a priest, I'm a saint, and I'm a living stone.
This is the end of Part B of this study. Please select Part C to continue.